Hey, Anna. So, what's your sign?
I'm on the cusp of Aries and Taurus.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I have a feeling I'm not sure about it. I think I'm sure, but you're going to tell me.
No, not yet. I'm going to save it.
Oh, then yes,
I'm
am sure.
I'm going to dangle it over you.
And I perfectly fit both.
You do? How so? What's your Taurus Aries?
I think Aries are like super fabulous and Taurus is like super smart.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That's what I'm just like. I pulled the best parts.
So you ignore the other parts.
There's like something about being stubborn and never being wrong. I don't. I ignored that part. But
so,
yeah.
I mean, would you say you read your horoscope occasionally?
No.
Never?
Yes. For the purposes of this, yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
I think you want me to say yes. Uh-huh.
No. I mean,
no.
how would you feel if you were a different sign? If somehow your whole life you were thinking you were this, but then you suddenly were faced with information that maybe you weren't, that you were something else. Would that change your life?
I don't want to say it would launch me into a full identity crisis, but maybe. You never know.
Interesting. Yeah. Boy, I can't wait to see what happens the rest of this episode.
That wasn't ominous at all.
Oh, no, not at all. We're going to be talking about astrology and astronomy too. Oh my gosh, this is going to be good.
Are you so excited?
I can't wait to break the psyche down from your sign to something else.
So much to discuss.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh, I'm excited. I was really upset about astrology. Now I'm excited.
I know, now you're excited.
I'm excited because I like to disappoint people.
A lot of perkiness from
you,
Regis.
I do like to disappoint people when it comes to astrology.
You actually do. Yeah, dream crush.
From Cincinnati's first podcast festival at Memorial Hall, I'm Dean Regis, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman, and we're both from the Cincinnati Observatory, where Dean's the astronomer, and I have all kinds of questions. In this episode, we're talking astronomy versus astrology, and we're going to talk about Orion and maybe what to look for in the stars in 2019. Lots to talk about.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
All right, are you ready? We're going to talk about astronomy versus astrology.
Yes.
You get real, I was going to say worked up, but you seem pumped about it right now.
I'm surprisingly happy about this.
Like,
usually I'm very angry about astrology.
Yeah.
But now that I've seen the plus side about this.
What's the plus side?
We'll get to that.
We had a whole thing here. Okay. So why don't astronomy and astrology get along? They're so close. The names are almost the same.
I know. The words
are
almost identical.
Yeah.
And we do share a common past. We do have a history, that's for sure.
And then it diverges sharply?
It diverges. Okay. Now, what I think is really funny is that astrologers feel this kinship to astronomers. They think that we are, comrades. We're both working towards the same thing. We're both studying different elements of the universe. Whereas astronomers despise astrologers. They want nothing to do with them.
This is harsh.
It is. It's like, so astronomers like, hey, buddy, how's the study of stars going? We're like, don't touch me. Do not touch me. Do not be near me. The biggest slur you could ever give to an astronomer is to call them an astrologer. That is the worst.
I'm going to keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
You can when I get
keep that in your back pocket for another day.
I feel like, though, it is sort of similar.
Well,
you're talking about the... I just want to, press the button.
I know.
I don't know, Dean. It sounds the same to me.
So let's see. Where am I at? I'm a 7 right now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So this is... The story is... So astronomy and astrology were linked together. We go back thousands and thousands of years ago.
Right.
They were the same kind of thing. You're studying the stars. You're studying the motions of these things. You're studying where the planets are in the sky. And you're using that knowledge to predict things. You're using it to predict the weather. You're using it to predict when the Nile floods or when your rivers are going to go over their banks. You're going to use it to know when your migration patterns are happening because you need to know what time it is. So astronomers were giving this information to the people and say, okay, this is the time of year. This is when you plant your crops. This is when you do this. And you could predict what's going to happen generally from that.
Okay.
Now, where the break happened was the astrologer said, well, wait, all right, if we can predict when the birds are going to migrate, when the rivers are going to flood, we can predict what you're going to do. That was the big leap.
Oh, they took it a step too far.
They took it one step too far. And because we're not herds of wildebeests, we're individual humans with our own things, you know? And so that was where it went, is they said, we're going to take what big things happen and we're going to put it to you.
Oh. It kind of sounds like astronomers were just like digging, knowing everything. And then they were like, astrologers were like, you know what? I can know even more. And y'all were like, slow your roll.
Yeah, there's people probably a little bit of that too. I'm sure there's some job security that was going on where the astronomers were like, well, wait.
What were the options?
You can predict what the king's going to do? And they were like, all right, we'll just see about that. We'll see who lasts. But that was the big break. Okay. And the astronomers kind of stayed up in their realm up there and watching what's going on up there, whereas astrologers were trying to read what individuals would do. And that is where we get into it's not really a science. So what we find out is that throughout history, there's this kind of like ebb and flow of people really liking astrology and then people like rejecting it, saying, oh my gosh, this is like superstition. This doesn't work. And how can you tell what I'm going to do tomorrow based on where the planets are?
I don't know what I'm going to do in an hour,
much less what
I'm going to do tomorrow.
Like, I know, exactly.
That's what I want to know. it is really popular, and it has persisted. I mean, do you think it's sort of like a, they say you're going to do this, and so that's what you end up kind of doing? You're like, it worked, or...
Yeah, I think there is a lot of self-fulfilling prophecy with this. And, I mean, I admit, I like to look at my horoscope I do read my horoscope every once in a while, just for fun, because I'm like, oh, yeah, let's see what they think is going to happen today. That's going to be good. That'll be rich.
Right. Not to make your schedule.
Yeah. Like, but that's what we find is when you look at astrology websites, which I think is even better, because then you're getting this computer-generated future. And what people leave their comments on these astrology websites. And so many of the comments say, this reading told me exactly what I already knew. Like, oh, I always knew that I had this passion for...
Is this what you do at night? Troll astrology websites for the comments?
Yeah, that.
Seems like it.
Yeah, that and look at Neil deGrasse Tyson pictures.
That's pretty much what I do. For sure.
But,
shop online for one of those vests.
That's right. I need that.
Cool.
Anyway. Yeah, that's they say like, oh yeah, so-and-so is the best astrologer. She told me exactly what I already knew, like about myself, and like, you know, oh yeah, I do. I am this kind of person. And so it's like they're not as critical of it.
Right.
And so that's what's so interesting about the astrology over time is that it used to be more, more generalized and more, And now it's kind of like they're trying to, it's basically like fortune telling. And so we go to, you know, the Renaissance and the Middle Ages, and astrology had kind of an uptick then.
Okay.
And I do have to admit, my main man, Galileo.
I was going
to
say, you know, you can talk all this, but Galileo.
Galileo was an astrologer
and
an astronomer. He was both. He did astrological readings.
How is that even a thing?
From what we can tell,
it wasn't his fault. He didn't know. He caught up in a bad crowd that was doing astronomy. Okay.
Yeah, he did have a bad crowd.
Yeah, he's like, yes. Okay.
Well, Galileo bridges this gap between, you know, the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. And so he's like this bridge, and everybody was doing astrology. Mm-hmm. And from what we could tell, he did it to make some money.
You were going to be like, he just needed to like get some bread or whatever.
Oh,
it's totally fine.
He needed to work his way through college. This is what he had to do is that he was a entrepreneur.
Wanted the new iPhone.
He definitely was an entrepreneur and a self promoter.
Right.
And he thought, well, you know, I could... Boy, these rich people really like this astrology stuff. I got the charts here. I'll just make a little extra money. But what happens is a couple generations later, when the Enlightenment happens, people realize, wait, those planets are so far away and have such little effect on us gravitationally. We can quantify how much Jupiter is pulling on you, and it's you are pulling on me more than Jupiter is pulling on me. So that means you have a bigger effect on me than things out there. And so
that's fair.
It's quantifiable that these planets have no physical effect on you.
Right.
And so they rejected astrology, and astrology went out of practice for 200 years. It was
and astronomers
done.
Were like, woo, woo.
Yeah, we were like, woo, we got the whole thing to ourselves.
Right, but then...
But then 1900s come around and people start practicing fortune telling.
Yeah.
It's banned in England. It's illegal to be a fortune teller and an astrologer mm-hmm. in England. And it's a deportable offense.
Oh,
if you
geez.
Were caught doing it, you were deported because it was basically like you're ripping people
and
off.
And they'll be like, didn't see this coming, did ya? Oh, get out of here. Just
that's
kidding.
Right. Yeah, you should have seen that coming.
That's right.
I'm sure that's what a lot of the cops in England.
Yeah.
Can you do the English accent too? I can't do it.
No.
Okay, forget it. All right,
come
I thought
on.
I would try it. So then they comes to America and becomes kind of like this thing to do is to do astrology mm-hmm. and it becomes kind of a popular thing in the 20th century and it's brought to the people. Instead of just rich people, everybody can have access to it. And here's where we are. So
here's where we are.
So I want to get back to that one point of your sign.
Yeah. And there's signs in astronomy.
There
right?
are signs in astronomy now. Now, so the difference is for astrology, they call them signs. So Taurus and Aries are signs. In astronomy, they're constellations. So they're the actual star pictures that are up in the sky.
This seems like semantics, but
So they were the same when astrology started 2,000 years ago, but they are not the same. Signs and constellations are not the same.
Okay.
And so you think you're a Taurus Aries because that was where the sun was when you were born. That's called your sun sign.
Okay.
So we have, the things have changed in 2,000 years. The sun is not in the place that it was 2,000 years ago on your birthday. And so we have...
When is my birthday, Dean?
Your birthday is April 20th. Of course, I remember it. I have it marked on my calendar every
right.
day.
That's because you know
yeah.
I like to celebrate.
Yeah. When's my birthday?
December 18th.
Go, good guess. Good save. Good
That's
save.
That's right. I knew.
Good save.
It's coming up. I got to prep.
So right. we've got a chart here of the old dates versus the new dates.
Oh, yeah.
So the astrological dates, which are not accurate, versus the astronomical dates.
Oh.
And we do have a live audience here, so they get to see their dates. Now, audience out there, if you do not want to know what your real sign is, look away now. Do not look.
Don't be afraid of knowledge.
Good idea.
Don't be afraid.
So we're going to put the old dates and the new dates. If we could put them up there on the screen, you can see the dates on the left are the astrological dates,
right.
and the dates on the right are your actual dates.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 80% of the audience is a different sign than what they think they are.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, I know this will change your whole way of life and that you're totally ruined for the rest of your life. And you can be like, I don't want to be a Scorpio or something like that. Or so you can all test this out. We're going to put it on.
We'll put
this chart on our website so you can see.
And our Facebook page.
And again, don't look if you don't want to know. But
and just watch the comments erupt.
This
like
is the
people
real
just freaking
thing.
Out. So, well, I think you did a good job keeping control. You were calm.
I was pretty calm.
You were decisive.
True.
You did say despise, but that's fine. So, all right. Well, I guess I'll just have to go with whatever you say because I can't do astrology anymore.
No, I'm sorry. But right. That's the way it goes. Well, so we thought we'd talk about a little more friendly topic than astrology
no
also.
No one's walked out yet, so that's...
No, that's true. I know. All these people with their
strong
new...
Strong feelings about Orion, but...
Their new astrological signs.
That's right.
Yeah. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about winter's coming, and mm-hmm. this is the time for a lot of people to do a lot of stargazing,
yeah.
and the big constellation that a lot of people recognize right now is Orion, and Orion is starting to rise a little bit later at night. And it's such a recognizable figure up there. We thought we'd talk a little bit about him.
I love when you say it's a right. Like, it's a, I, okay, you're right. It is.
No.
I feel like, we talked about this before, though. I feel like it's like a clump of stuff. It's like, there it is, a man and a belt. And he's got accessories, much less I can't even tell he's got a head.
Well, that's what makes him so great. He's got that snazzy belt of three stars. It's got rhinestones on and everything.
Okay, that I can get behind, actually.
See,
I
thought
enjoy
so.
The bling.
Out of
okay.
all the constellations,
yeah,
he
yeah.
should be, like, the one that appeals to you the most.
I do like him.
He's
okay.
got the bling.
He gets a pass.
Yeah, now, I mean, out of all the constellations, and you're right. I mean, a lot of the constellations, you look up there, and you're like, this doesn't look like anything. Right. I mean, there's Cassiopeia that's just a W shape, and that's supposed to be the beautiful queen of Ethiopia sitting on her throne.
Yeah. Just envision it.
I know. But Orion is one that's actually, you could picture it.
That's true. That's fair.
And he's so easy to identify because of those three stars in a row for his belt. Mm-hmm. So you'll start to see him rising late at night here in the late fall. And then once we get in the winter, he rises earlier every single day. So you look to the eastern horizon and you'll see the belt coming up and the other stars that are with it. And so there's the stars that are with Orion, like the belt stars are, you know, those are the identifiable things, but there's these other stars that are around it. The two brightest stars in Orion, their name's Rigel and your favorite, Betelgeuse.
I do like Betelgeuse.
Yes.
That's a good one.
And so Rigel is his foot and Betelgeuse is his, well, this is where you have to use your imagination again. And so if you picture the stars of Orion with the belt and then Betelgeuse, and so what you're supposed to imagine is a giant hunter with his left arm like this holding a shield and his right arm raised holding a club.
Okay.
And Betelgeuse is his right armpit.
Okay.
And Betelgeuse is a Arabic word loosely translated as armpit of the great central one.
That's what Betelgeuse means?
That's what Betelgeuse means, yes.
Okay. Well, it's accurate. I mean, they really nailed it down,
Some of these star names sound so flowery and poetic, but they're very practical. So Betelgeuse, armpit of the central one. Yeah. Rigel is short for left foot of the central one.
Okay. Again, very exacting.
Yes. The belt star's names are Alnitak, Alnilam, and Mintaka. And all three mean belt, belt, and belt. Three words for belt.
They really wanted to reiterate that that's the belt.
Belt, belt, belt. Three
Can't
different
get
words
it confused.
For belt. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So
I admire that. Just like
you admire. Yeah, yeah, it's very practical. Like, it's very practical.
The second one. How about we just do belt again?
Let's do belt again.
We can like a round table. Like let's do belt again.
Well, it was a different type of belt. I think it was. But most of the star names through all the constellations have Arabic origins, and so it's this combination when you're viewing the sky. You see the Greek constellations. So Orion goes back to Greek days, but the star names often are. These Arabic words that come from about the 8th century AD or so.
Oh, yeah.
But the big thing with Orion, and I think you've seen this in our telescope, in the winter sky, the best thing to see in the telescope is what's called the Orion Nebula. Have you seen the Orion Nebula? You saw that, right?
Yes.
So we show this to people because it comes up in winter, and you can see it with the naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where it gets a little racy, I have to admit.
Hold your ears, sensitive listeners.
Because the Orion Nebula is located in the sword hanging from Orion's belt.
Okay.
So you got to picture this guy. He's standing there with his arm up and his other arm up, and he's got this belt, and he's sideways, and he has a sword hanging from his belt. Now that means it is below the belt. Are you starting to pick up what I'm trying to?
Yeah, I get it. Can you stop? how many swords does he need? He's holding one. He's got okay. Fine.
So now the Orion Nebula, what it is this big star factory. It's this big cloud of gas and dust that's coming together. Gravity's bringing it together and making new stars. So it's a star factory. And so we're looking at this, you know, that's what, when you see it in the telescope, we can actually...
Star Factory sounds like a reality TV competition.
Oh, I thought it was like a...
Star Factory! Like, and it's just like people singing and then like vote them on. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
I thought of like CNC
Back to the
music
science.
Factory,
I wore my glasses. Back to the science.
Back
Dean.
To the science. Yeah, now
Please,
you got
Dean.
Me thinking of like, dun, 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 dun. Everybody dance.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
The Star Factory.
You would not win Star Factory with that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I would not. I would not win the Star Factory prize.
It's a podcast.
Yes.
You win a podcast. Okay.
So in the Star Factory, we could actually see these newborn stars that are being like hatched out of this big cloud.
Adorable.
And we'd see these four stars in here. Now, how you remember this, and this is how I learned about the Orion Nebula. So I was like brand new in the planetarium biz. I was getting my training in the planetarium.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting there in the audience with a group of Girl Scouts. And the planetarium director is pointing out Orion, and she's like, "Now look, girls, here's Orion right there. There's his belt. And then look at this area." And she circled below the belt with the red pointer over and over again. "Now, girls, look at this area below Orion's belt." And I'm like starting to sweat. I'm like, what is going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen here. And she's like, "Now, girls, that's where baby stars come from."
Oh, my gosh. To a group of Girl Scouts?
Yes. They all started laughing. It was like, I was like, whoa, I didn't know it was going to be this kind of lesson today.
Yeah, you're like, what a sad out this morning.
But it is technically true. I would have phrased it maybe differently, but that's
had their attention, I'm sure. Oh my gosh.
So now there's one other thing that I wanted to mention is we've got a big event coming up in January. We like to look ahead a little bit. You know, astronomers like to look to the future. And
but only in a way, not in a way that is guided by astrology.
That's true.
You
not
just
a
look
way
to the future
predict.
In a very prudent, cogent manner.
There is that point. Is like so, based on the stars, I know what I'm going to be doing on January 20th, 2019. It has already been predetermined that I'm going to be doing something on that day. So
I bet it's nerdy.
You know it is.
I know. It's going to be great.
But
January, I'm going to do it too because I have to work.
You'll probably be doing it too.
I know.
Well, because you're into this stuff now, right?
Yeah.
You're hooked.
It is exciting.
That's what
I have my own telescope now. So.
That's what a Taurus would do. A Taurus Aries cusp would
definitely. Don't you pigeonhole me. I'm half Aries, man.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. So, January 20th, 2019, we're going to have a total lunar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
This is super exciting whenever you can see this happening. This is when you have the full moon out there and the shadow of the Earth just sweeps across the moon and turns into this eerie shade of orange and red. And so this is going to be a really good one. So the night of January 20th, mm-hmm. this is when it starts. And so you want to really put that on your calendar because it goes into the morning of the 21st. So it starts on the 20th at 10:30 p.m.
Okay.
And then ends a little after 1 o'clock in the morning on the 21st. So all these extra nerdy websites are going to say it's on the 21st.
Oh, because it technically...
And in England, it's in the 21st. So while people in England and Africa and Europe will see it on the 21st, us in America and the Northern and Western Hemisphere will see it on the 20th. So you got to check it out. 10:30 at night.
What night of the week is it?
It's a Sunday night. I'm glad you asked that. It's
Sunday
night, and it's a good night to stay up late because the next day is Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
So everybody should take that off as a holiday, definitely.
It worked so perfectly.
Exactly.
They planned it perfectly. All right, well, before we kind of close out, we wanted to see if there were any audience questions. I think that, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you have a question, I think there's microphones in the front. Is there anything you want to ask?
So a couple days ago, we heard that Kepler is dead. And I was two questions. So one is, how big of a deal is this? We knew it was coming. And two, in the future, when we look back on Kepler, what do you think we're gonna see as its greatest find?
Yeah, the Kepler Space Telescope. This is the one that was launched quite a few years ago. Its main mission is to identify exoplanets, planets that are circling around other stars. And I rank it up as one of the top missions of this century. It's pretty impressive the number of planets that the spacecraft has found. It basically looks for planets going in front of their stars and making little tiny eclipses. And I thought there's no way they're going to find more than a dozen, but they have found, I think it's up to around 3,000 planets around other stars. And this is the biggest jump, I think, this is the newest thing in astronomy is finding exoplanets, because what we found is more stars have planets than we ever would have thought. And if there are more planets out there, there's more chances for little creatures to be living on those little planets. And that opens up this possibility that it seems more and more statistically likely that we're not alone in the universe. So yeah, the Kepler mission, man, that was a pretty cool one.
Well, that actually leads into my question. We're talking about Kepler and we talk about Hubble and exoplanets and relating back to astrology versus astronomy. How do astrologers deal with the changing landscape of the cosmos? Is Pluto a planet? Is Pluto not a planet? How does that fall in the whole structure of astrology?
Well, so astrologers are pretty rooted in their 2,000-year-old tradition. And so those dates that I showed you, the new dates versus the old dates, they do not accept the new dates, which I think is kind of funny because, when they're not accepting reality. And when I mention this to them and I say,
a bit of a leap. Well, yeah.
I say, if you say to somebody that their sun sign is Taurus, but the sun's not in Taurus and it's something else, aren't you lying to them? And they're like, well, you're worried about stars. I'm worried about my charts. On my chart, it says they're a Taurus. I was like, yeah, but the stars. And they're like, no, but our charts. And I was like, wait a second, hold on. What's the first five letters of your field? Astro. That's stars. That's what stars. It's about the stars. That's why you started in the first place. Okay, here, I'm 11.
We need like a...
So they don't accept, they don't actually ever look up in the sky. They look at their charts, and those are the people that are guiding your lives. No, I do not like that at all. They do not accept change.
I'm worried. Okay.
And so actually, they are having debates on, is Pluto an astrological influence on you? The more refined astrologers are accepting all the dwarf planets. So Ceres affects you. You got to get your Ceres chart also, your Eris chart, your Maki Maki chart, your Haumea chart. If you really want to get into the other asteroids, you got Vesta and maybe the moon, Ganymede.
Sure.
Yeah, why all not? Why not? I mean, let's put it all in there. It's getting complicated. So the poor astrologers, I do feel bad for them.
You don't sound like you feel bad for them.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Hi, I am a Libra Scorpio on the cusp. Not happy at all to find out I'm a Virgo.
Right, sorry.
Yeah, although I have to say, to defend it a little bit, I am a very practical, well-organized person, and people are constantly saying, how can this be so? So you answered one of the questions, like what are the astrologers saying? But if you're saying, here's really the new lineup and we accept that, then aren't you sort of implicitly buying into the astrology thing, saying it just needs to be adjusted a little bit?
Well, I think it's a good point.
Snap! Oh my gosh! That was the greatest... I mean, ma'am, that was inflammatory.
Well, I'm actually pointing out that what they're doing is not scientific. That's what I'm pointing out. That if they wanted to use science principles, if they wanted to use what was actually in the sky, they should use these dates. And if they do use these dates, I will say, all right, you've made that one step. That's good. But if they can't make that step, and you might have noticed in that chart there, if you go back to our website there and see the chart, there was an extra constellation in there. Did you guys notice there was an extra one named Ophiuchus? The sun goes through Ophiuchus for a number of weeks, actually, and not through Scorpius for very long. So it's in December or so, you are an Ophiuchus. And what an Ophiuchus is a serpent holder. He was a guy that could raise the dead. He was a pretty cool guy. So being Ophiuchus is pretty cool. Awesome. And so we throw that in there just to joke with them and say, you don't even have Ophiuchus on your chart. That's how scientific you are. And they're like, oh yeah, Ophiuchus. I mention that to an astrologer. Say, hey, I'm an Ophiuchus. See what they say. They will like flip out. Trust me.
We want to thank the organizers of Cincinnati's first podcast for festival for having us. We also wanted to thank John and Brian for their help with the engineering on today's show.
All right. Yay.
We did it. Well, that's it for this episode of Looking Up. Get in touch with us. We're on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/lookingupwvxu. We're also on Twitter at Looking Up Podcast, or drop us a note at lookingup@wvxu.org.
You can ask us a question, give us a topic suggestion, or ask your kids what they'd like to ask an astronomer or scientist, and we'll answer it on future episodes.
And remember to subscribe to Looking Up on iTunes. And please take a moment to rate or comment on us there or from wvxu.org/lookingup. Our theme song and additional music is by Y, that's W-H-Y, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provided additional technical assistance.
Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.